Now, O Lord, may the words of our mouths and the meditations of all of our hearts be found acceptable in your sight. For you are our rock, our strength, and our Redeemer. If through the words of this human being we do not hear your voice, O God, speak to each of us then here in the quietness of the heart. Amen. Every year, Merriam-Webster Dictionary publishes the new words of the year. Even though we have multiple words in the English language, every year there are new words being created, new words being donned official words by this dictionary. A few years ago, Google became an official word. Just last year, or the year before, I think it was, selfie became an official word in the dictionary. And one of the words that was just released this year as a new addition to Merriam-Webster Dictionary is humble brag. Now, it's not humble space brag. Humble brag is one word. Believe me, I did spell check on my computer with it, and it didn't give me the squiggly red line under it. Humble brag is now a real thing. And humble brag basically means, a way to summarize it, is where you give the appearance that you're not bragging on something, you're trying to act humble, but you're really pointing to your achievements after all. And when we look at the letter, Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, we could easily take this new word and use it to describe the old word of Paul. Because when he was writing the church in Corinth, they were a good church, they were a strong church, they were doing good work, but they had some issues that they were needing to work through. And one of them was that they were indeed humble bragging. In a way, they were moving away from the humility of the cross of Christ as their foundation and were focusing more on individual leaders within the church and bragging about them, boasting about them, rather than boasting about the cross of Christ. So it makes sense that Paul would write in verse 21, "So let no one boast about human leaders, for all things are yours." So Paul is pointing out to us here what the problem is. And that's a problem that we still face today. I mean, look, we invented a word just to describe what it is like and how we want to honor God, we want to be humble, and yet we want to draw attention to our achievements, we want praise, and we need to be told that we've done a good job, we need the encouragement, but we have to learn where to draw that line. And what Paul is writing to the Corinthians is true for us today as well. Because what Paul is asking them to do is to not focus so much on their individual achievements, but to focus on the whole building, to focus on the community. And he gives us this beautiful analogy that has stood the test of time, where he compares the body of Christ to a building on which Jesus Christ is the foundation that we just heard the choir sing so beautifully about. And when we see at the end of the, but in order to do that, in order to see exactly what it means to be God's building and how we are called to build, it helps us if we start at the end of the story today, at the end of the passage, and work our way back to look at how God outlines through Paul, how we can build together as the body of Christ. Look with me again at verses 21 through 23. "Let no one boast about human leaders, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future. All belong to you, and you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God." It would be easy for us, in talking about the temple of God, to talk about building blocks. How do we build the temple of God? To think of it in terms of building blocks. But Paul shows us in this last verse, friends, that at the heart of the gospel, at the heart of being the community of faith, is not so much how we build together, but how we belong together. There is a deep human need within each and every one of us to belong somewhere, to belong to a community, to belong to a family, to belong to God. And Paul is pointing out this deep and basic need to us, saying, yes, what makes up the church is not so much what we build together, but how we belong together, how we build relationships with each other, how we serve God by serving one another. And the sad thing is, friends, a lot of times when we think about the church of today, when we think about individual congregations, many times there are folks who come in the doors of church and leave because they feel like they don't belong. And some of us, even sitting here today, may think that we don't really have that sense of belonging here in this space. But I invite you to think beyond the pews that we're sitting on, beyond the walls and the beautiful stained glass that surround us, and to think about belonging in a bigger sense. Because Paul is calling us to belong together, to build together beyond the confines that we so easily put on church. What Paul is calling us to is to be in relationship with each other and to build relationships outside of the norm, outside of the walls, outside of the boxes we so easily place on religion. And he outlines for us two things that are so important in that sense of belonging and how we can come to feel that sense of belonging better with one another. Look again with me at verse 10. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation and someone else is building on it. Each builder must choose with care how to build on it. Each builder must choose with care how to build on it. This may sound simple, and yet it's sometimes so hard to do, friends. The number one thing that we must remember to be good builders who build communities of belonging together is the need to genuinely care for each other. Paul uses the word here, care, about a building. Each builder must choose with care how to build. And he's inviting us in that word to say, pay attention to the details of each other's lives. Pay attention to what matters to one another. Focus not so much on what our individual needs are, but pay attention to how we might care for the needs of our brothers and sisters. Like I said, not just within the walls of the church, but in our communities, in our workplaces, beyond the walls that we place around us. Show one another that in belonging we care for each other, and we have that love for each other that is deeper than anything we can imagine. The second thing that Paul points out comes to us in verses 16 and 17. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. For God's temple is holy and you are that temple. Well, this is the moment in Paul's sermon to the Corinthians where everybody would have woken up very quickly. Because Paul has said, you are the temple. It's no longer a building, it's the people. We know that old thing where we teach our children, here's the church, here's the steeple, open the door, and here's all the people. But that's what Paul is saying. It's no longer about a building, it's about building relationships with people. And he says, you are the temple. And God, let me look at this again. For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. So if we are the temple of God, and God is holy, then we are called to be holy also. Well, this is what would give the Corinthians a wake-up call, and us as well. Because as God's builders, we are called to be holy. And the word holy is one of these words that we could talk all day about. The Old Testament describes it in so many different ways. It is such a complex, beautiful term, and yet it's also so often misunderstood. Many of us, when we hear the word holy, we think, well, God's telling me to be holy. That means I've got to be perfect, that I've got to do everything right, that there's a moral code that I must follow in which I do everything right. Well, friends, God knows that we're not perfect, that we're going to miss the mark, but he calls us to be holy. And then when we hear the word holy, what he is asking us to do is to be different, to be distinct in the world. The word holy actually means set apart for a purpose. And when Paul is talking to the Corinthians, he's saying to them, look, I know what your culture is like. I know all of the ways in which you were tempted to live by an old standard. But he is saying to us, saying to us and to the church in Corinth, I want you to be different. I want you to be distinct. And that's what we are called as the church, friends, is to be different and to be distinct. The church is an organization in a lot of ways. We have a budget, we have a structure, we have a staff, we have all of these different, we have an order that we go by, not just in the worship service, but we have hours that we keep here. We are an organization, but we are not like any other organization. Congregations are different from others, and the reason for that, the basis of that, it comes to us in verse 10. that, or in verse 11 actually, there no one can lay any foundation other than the one that has been laid, and that foundation is Jesus Christ. What distinguishes us as the church is that we are founded on the sacrificial love of Jesus Christ. A love that not only says you have to love the person sitting on the pew next to you, but you have to love the one whom you consider your enemy. In Matthew chapter 5, as part of Sermon on the Mount, Jesus startled his listeners as much as Paul startled the church at Corinth by saying, "Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you." One of the toughest, one of the simplest commandments in terms of words, love your enemies. Jesus is direct about it. And yet, it's one of the hardest things for us to follow. It's one of the hardest things for us to do as human beings, to love those whom we feel like are causing harm to us. And when we think about building as the body of Christ, when we think about belonging to the body of Christ, friends, our foundation is in a love that says, love your enemy. Our foundation is in the cross of Calvary, that where the blood flowed for us so that we might be called friends of God. This sacrificial love is the foundation on which we exist. And our job as the builders and as the belongers who help one another to belong is to build on such sacrificial love. And that causes us to stop and say, well, what does that kind of love look like? That is what makes us different. That's what makes us distinct as the body of Christ and as the church. But how do we live that out? Well, one of the best ways we can learn how to live out the scripture is to look at the example of our brothers and sisters, to look at the stories and listen to the stories of those who have lived it out. And one such story was shared a few years ago on Krista Tippett's radio show, On Being. And it tells the story of a man named Jack Leroy Tuller. Jack Tuller is a decorated World War II veteran. And back in 2 weeks after D-Day, he was still serving in France. He was in the trenches, and it was pitch black dark one night, and he and his fellow servicemen were out in the field, and Jack Tuller was very nervous. He was very stressed about the conditions he was in. But the good news is Jack Tuller played the trumpet, and so he took his trumpet with him to the battlefield, and he reached for it to play a song to comfort himself. And his commander turned to him and said, "Jack, don't play tonight because there's one German sniper left out there." And Jack Tuller said that he thought to himself, "Well, that German sniper is probably just as scared and lonely as I am, so I'll play a song for him." So he played a German love song called "Lily Marlena" that echoed throughout the night. And before long, morning came. And they got word, Jack Leroy Tuller got word, that they had taken some German soldiers prisoner, and that one of the German soldiers was on the beach, and he was asking about who played the trumpet last night. So somebody ran and got Jack Leroy Tuller, and he ran to the beach, and he describes this: "I grabbed my trumpet, and I went down to the beach, and there was a 19-year-old man, scared and lonesome. He was dressed like a French peasant to cloak his role as a sniper. And crying, he said, 'I couldn't fire because I thought of my fiance. I thought of my mother and father.' And he says, 'My role is finished.' Jack Leroy Tuller stuck out his hand and shook the hand of the enemy." He said this: "He was no enemy. He was scared and lonely like me. He was scared and lonely like me." Friends, even those we feel like are against us, if we feel like we are in a battle with other people, at the end of the day, we're all just scared and lonely children in need of the love of Jesus Christ. When Jesus said to us, "Love your enemy," he was saying to us, "Remember, I was scared and lonely too. Yet I conquered death in the grave so that you could conquer death in the grave, so that you could live an overcoming life. But to live the overcoming life, We have to love our enemy. We have to make the love, that kind of love, our foundation. And we are called to build on that foundation. That is where we find belonging. That is where we find peace. That is where we find the love that surpasses understanding, that flows from Calvary, from our Savior Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, blessed three in one, now and forever. Amen.